Chogger, we are a few days away from free agency. Ken Holland has a grocery list, shopping list, if we want to call it that. And I'm not sure he'll get everybody on his shopping list. But to me, they need two defensemen, a lefty and a righty. They need a center, and they need a winger. Which I think they'll get a center. You know, they might not get the ideal one they want. And, like, I won't even be stunned if maybe just for depth, if they get a center who can play wing as well.
Yeah. What do you think? Are they just going to stand pat on the goalie?
Yeah, like, unless there's – yeah, that's like, I don't know. My sources tell me that the tire kicking has been like not that – you know how I kind of joke when someone goes on a road trip and they're not a car person, they walk around their car and they kick each tire to see what the – you know, they don't actually put the nozzle on to see what the actual pressure is. That's about the extent of the tire kicking. It's not very in-depth when it comes to a Koskinen trade.
Yeah, so setting goaltending aside, I think they've got a few options. Like, you know, I agree with what you're saying. They need they need to figure out what's happening with Tyson Barrie here. And they got to make a decision. They've got a little bit of, you know, they're running out of time here, but they need to figure out what's happening there. If there's a deal for Tyson Barrie, then I could see them start to move some pieces around on the board a little bit. You know, my guess is they wouldn't love the idea of Barrie and Bouchard and Ethan Bear on the right side. So I think if Tyson Barrie decides to stay and there's a deal that gets done there, I think maybe some trade chips start falling into place. And I think Ethan Bear potentially is in play at that point. Now, I don't know what the return is. I don't know exactly what need they can fill with Ethan Bear. You just talked about a couple of needs up front. Maybe they can try and fill a need up front with Ethan Bear. And then they fall back to guys like, well, you had a good list today, you know, some right shot guys on your list that potentially go in there as they hope Bouchard can play increasing minutes as the season goes on. So whether it's Hamonic or Gudbranson perhaps, or some of those other right shot guys that are maybe more third pairing types. So I think Tyson Barrie is the first domino that needs to fall here. They need to figure out what's going on. And I think that there's some back and forth happening, and I think there's a lot of consideration happening right now. I don't think they have a decision, and it's I think I'm not sure whose ball or whose court the ball is in, but there's been some back and forth here. So we'll see where that plays. But that's, to me, that's something that's got to get sorted out before you kind of figure out which direction they're going to go on a couple of fronts.
When you look at you know, the non-qualification of the couple of forwards, Jujhar and Cahoon, and then the guys he has brought in that he has signed again, like Devin Shore and Archibald, do you think he's looking for players with a little more, I don't know what the right word is, but like snap, like they kind of play on their toes and they get after the forecheck more. At times, Jujhar showed that. Cahoon maybe wasn't quite, you know, it was probably miscast for that type of role. But does that make sense in that bottom six that he'd be looking for that type of player? When you especially look at guys like he had, like Draper and Maltby in Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, Kara, I think there's a chance he could still revisit things with Kara a little bit, depending on what his interest level is. I mean, just from a penalty killing standpoint, you know, there was some value there for him. But he doesn't have what you just talked about, Strads. There's no snappiness in his game. There's a lack of pace and a lack of get up and go in his game that I think is not what they want in their bottom six. I don't think they want that. I think they want to play with pace down there. So you like his penalty killing, you don't like his pace of play, you don't like his inconsistency. So at a significantly reduced dollar, where if he's your 13th forward, then maybe you consider it, because he can play center as well if he needs to and kill penalties. But it needs to be at a pretty reduced rate. So I would say there's maybe some interest there. But, yeah, and they need to make some changes, right? You can't return most of your bottom six and think you're going to have it different results. I mean, they need to be swapping some players out here. So I think that's why we're seeing, you know, James Neal likely headed for a buyout here, and we're seeing decisions made on guys like Cahoon and Kara. You got to swap some of that stuff out. And so, yeah, I think there's a chance with Kara, but I don't know that there is with Cahoon.
Yeah, I think I'll be interested to see, you know, where certain guys come out. Like Jujhar Kara, I'd be surprised if they revisit at this point. I think he's going to test the free agent market and see what's out there. I think he believes that you know, he's more of a player than the opportunity he got in Edmonton. So I'd be surprised if he came back.
Yeah. How can he feel that way?
Dude, there's lots of people who think, hey, you know what, I could be better than, you know, I think I should get more of an opportunity. He wouldn't be the first guy in the NHL to think that.
That guy had 3 or 4 seasons to try and grab a regular spot in this lineup and wasn't able to do it. So, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be hard on him, but, like, this team was begging for him to develop into a third-line player. Begging him to do it. And it was just opportunity after opportunity falling at his feet. So I'm not buying that one bit.
Ah, well, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I'm just telling you that's kind of the sense that I got at times in conversations. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where it goes from there. The Oilers draft. What did you make of the trade down? Some people were frustrated about the Wallstedt. I've gotten very different reports from scouts, and I think that really describes, because where Wallstedt went, some teams were really high in him, other teams not as much.
Well, I think a lot of it depends on what you think his timeline is, because I don't think the Oilers are interested in drafting a goalie that might be on a 3, 4, or 5 year timeline. I just don't think that's where they're at right now. They need to add players that they feel, you know, in the next few years will be able to start moving the dial a little bit and pushing for spots. And a skilled forward has a chance to, within the next, say, 3 seasons, come in and start at least taking a run at a lineup. And someone you can add, you know, I don't think they're looking for. So it depends on how you felt about Wallstedt and how they felt about him and what their intel told them about his NHL readiness and about how soon he would be able to play. I heard some say he'd be able to play in a couple seasons. I don't know that. I can't pretend to have watched this guy play a whole bunch and know everything about his game. I don't think the Oilers were looking to draft a 4-year project in net. And if they believed he was 3 or 4 years away still, and that might be the case, then I can understand why they passed on him. And so they go with a skilled forward. You know, read some of the scouting reports, watched some of the highlights, did not watch this player play. So really, I'm kind of not afraid to say I don't feel qualified to judge too harshly either way, because I just haven't seen the player play. So sure, there's some risk there that if this goaltender is the next Vasilevsky, then sure, they've got a problem on their hands. I don't know that he's going to be. And so we'll see if they put a real skilled forward in place that pushes for a lineup spot before Leon Draisaitl's contract is up, then probably a decent pick.
Last week, Gregor threw out the idea of Nuge moving down to the third line spot for center, and then the Oilers adding another left winger. It solves that problem, and maybe you've had those thoughts before, but it's kind of been kicking around in my brain the last few days, and it does solve a number of problems. It opens up others, I get it, but you know, maybe it just. Because to me, that third line spot is so critical. Now you can put him beside, I don't know, if it's Cassian, and then I'm not sure, is it Holloway? I don't know who you're going to find out. You know, that, you have to kind of line those things up. But even the idea, the thought of putting him in a third line center and filling up the wing with other players, does that interest you? Are you even willing to walk down that road at all?
Yeah, it's a great idea. I think it makes sense in a number of different ways. So let's say, because, I mean, you try and go find the right third line center, and you take a look. So if you can convince Ryan Getzlaf to move to Edmonton, then I think that's a good option, and you're willing to pay for that, and I think there's lots of stuff that comes along with him, and it makes sense. If you can put the right guy in place, then sure, go get him. But I think it's easier to get wingers, and I think it's cheaper to get wingers, and I think the Oilers have 3 good centers. So why kill yourself trying to overpay or find the perfect guy as a center that you pay more for when you've got a guy already? So if your next best option is a hell of a good left winger, then now you've got, you know, you've got Hyman there, you've got the new left winger there, and if you need to shift Nugent Hopkins over into the middle on a third line, you're able to do that. So you've got some options with Nugent Hopkins. People forget, like, he doesn't have to be a left winger. And so if you can go get a couple more forwards that help, then, yeah, I think you'd take advantage of that option for sure. So I don't mind that option at all. And it wouldn't surprise me, like, if, let's say, Tyson Barrie re-signs. Let's say that happens. And the Oilers then have an issue on the blue line, and they need to consider moving Ethan Bear and signing a different type of defenseman to play in his spot. You know, maybe Ethan Bear gets moved for somebody that helps you on your third line. Maybe that's what you look for in a return. I don't know if he would get that or not, but maybe there's kind of those natural dominoes fall where they change the shape of the blue line a bit with a Bear trade and the signing, and then they use Ethan Bear's assets to help them up front a little bit. But, yep, Nugent Hopkins is a center. He absolutely can play center. He's got his contract. He's got the money. He's got the years. He's got the no trade. You play him wherever you want to play him now. And if that happens to be third-line center because that's the best fit, then you go ahead and do it.
Ron Rashog joins us from the Sports Leader TSN 1260. One last one for you. You look at, you know, you went through my list that I outlined for Ken's shopping list, and yep. I really believe the, you know, like Derek Forbort's an A, man. He can play both sides. Big yep. body. He's really, you know, here was a player last year that signed a one-year deal in Winnipeg, and it's funny. When you go back, even back to his days in L.A., he always played more of his minutes. Whatever his minutes were, he played more against elite than he did anyone else. So lots of coaches have trusted this guy to play those minutes, and Edmonton yep. needs someone like that to replace Larson. And I know he's a natural lefty, but he does play both sides fairly evenly after talking to some scouts. So
yeah, no,
he's a name I'd put in.
Yeah, they're interested in him, and I think that, and I think he's been on their list for a little while here, even before they realized that a Duncan Keith scenario might be a reality. I think they've looked at him as an option on their left side for quite a while now, and I think he's on a list of, you know, of players that they would definitely be interested in. Definitely upgrades their third pairing. Definitely. I don't know how much of a setback there is if you try and shift him over to the other side. But, I mean, they have other guys that can shift over to the other side too, right? So Russell can play over on the other side if he needs to as well. But you're just adding big, strong, rangy defensemen that, you know, that can play some decent minutes for you. So I agree, Greg. He's a good name. I think the Oilers have interest there. I think they have for some time. Don't know if he comes here. Don't know if they'll get him. But I absolutely would have him on a list of guys that they're interested in. They're interested in Jake McCabe as well. I think there's a high level of interest there.
Oh,
just seeing,
geez.
Yeah, that's the sense I get. And they would probably be pretty high on the list. And I think there's been a little bit of sniffing around Ryan Murray as well. So I looked at your list and thought, yep, a lot of this makes sense based on what I'm hearing as well.
Yeah, and Cody Ceci's numbers actually really surprised me the last
yeah.
few seasons. He doesn't
with the right partner, hey.
Yeah, but he doesn't play the same physical play as Larson, but man, he eats a lot of minutes. And the last 2 years, his numbers have actually, you know, they're fairly solid. And him and Larson played virtually identical
yep.
Minutes and games played. So it's kind of an interesting one. If that's a guy, I'm not sure. I would like a little bit more pop on the back end. Like outside of Nurse right now, they don't really have anybody else who's physical.
Yeah, how about Bogosian? What do you think about
Bogosian? He's not signing in Canada because his family couldn't come across the border last year, so he doesn't want to worry about that. He doesn't want to.
Oh, you know what? I did see that today, too. Yeah, the restrictions were part of the reason why he wasn't going to re-sign. So, yeah, well, I'll strike him off the Edmonton list then.
He's a third-pairing guy. You know,
I think
Keith has a little bit of dirty in him. You know, I would say he's physical, but he uses his stick pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, what are they going to get from that guy? Holy smokes. Is there any bigger question heading into this season like that people are going to be paying such close attention to? What are they going to get from Duncan Keith? I loved his answer, man. I loved his answer on his Zoom call. We'll see who's a step behind in training camp.
Yeah, he's
what a
proud
gamer.
Guy.
For an older guy to say that? What a gamer.
He's proud.
I thought it was great.
He's very proud. You know, like,
yeah.
I get it. You know, you don't really realize, and I'm not saying he is, but when I look back at my last year in Edmonton, it was probably a poor signing by the Oilers. You know, yeah, the fans loved it, obviously.
Buddy, like, we were glad to have you, buddy. Everybody was glad to have you. You
looked after
people,
there.
You know.
I was probably, to be honest, I was like a playing coach. I was a Reg Dunlop of the Edmonton Oilers. But, you know, at the time, I still thought I could play. But I went back and I started thinking, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I remember it started in training camp. When Eberle and Taylor Hall went against them in one-on-ones, I got just lit up. Like, I was
yep.
like, oh, God, this is bad. Then I didn't really, you know, I didn't really have it anymore. Like, and I'm not comparing myself to Duncan Keith. But, you know, until you really go through, you're proud. Like, you don't want to hear that. Like, I'd be sitting out and guys are coming up playing. I'm like, why are these guys playing? And it pisses you off. But you're not going to say it. You know, or I'm not. You know, Duncan probably can say it. I can't say it. So, you know, I think there's a lot of pride there. So I think he's going to come ready to play and give a good push. And you got to remember, the ask isn't as big as what it was in Chicago. There should be some easier minutes as far as the way the team's constructed and plays. I think it'll be very clear what his role is. I think that's one thing Playfair can outline, is what your role is on this team as a D-man.
Yeah. Do you guys agree that if the Barry signing happens, then there's a pretty strong chance Ethan Bear gets moved?
Yeah, at some point, and there would be lots. It would all depend on what the return is, but yeah, I don't think long term you can have Bouchard, Bear, and Barry. That's that's why I kind of suspect, you know, the Barry deal, unless it's a shorter term deal, I don't see it happening. But
yeah,
even a 3-year deal, like I've heard. You know, Frank Cervalli said that, you know, Barry might do it for 3 years at $5 million even. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, there's some back and forth happening, and it's kind of coming down to the wire. I mean, I think my sense is there's a pretty good chance that he tests the market. But I think there's some discussions that are happening late in the ball game here, and we'll see if they can, you know, see if they can find a deal on a term and a dollar figure. That makes sense, because if they go into free agency with neither Larson nor Barry, they're going to be pretty jammed up over on that side, and they're going to have to figure out something pretty significant here. So we'll see. Maybe somebody breaks at the last minute.
Shager, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Okay, guys. See ya.